Please be seated. A spring of water gushing up to eternal life. The gospel is our spoken gift of faith. Some will have seen the recent film La La Land and recall the haunting, soulful tune that knits that story together. That phrase of music is the refrain from which the story takes wing and to which it returns moment by moment as your life and soul life return again and again to the gospel, a spoken gift of faith, the faithfulness of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. Spoken, sung. Every bird sings faith over the globe through all time. Thurman loved penguins, odd and remote, in their dress and their song. Listen. Along the Charles in the spring, we make way for goslings and ducklings. Then early in the summer mornings out in the farmland where we live in the summer, the northeastern tip of Appalachia, and where we will be buried, where we are at home, at dawn, each dawn, a rooster. Two eagles, they too mate for life as in Christian marriage, soaring. Imagine their music. The owl at night, a swan song. The gospel is a bird in song, and all nature sings. And even if or when the preaching of the gospel by human imperfection abates, as it does threaten to do, birdsong will carry the tune. God can preach God's gospel through birdsong. Spoken as well, Derek Walcott of blessed memory of Boston University, a Methodist. I seek, as climate seeks its style, to write verse crisp as sand, clear as sunlight, cold as the curled wave, ordinary as a tumbler of island water. Father Raymond Brown judged our passage today, John 4, to be the loveliest, finest narrative in the fourth gospel. The woman at the well, the Samaritan woman, meets Jesus and meets us in conversation. She is the quintessential conversationalist. And what a wonder is there in the faintest conversation, let alone this dominical discussion. Ours today from John 4 is holy, telling conversation, full of the unexpected, full of surprise, full of the utterly personal, full of revelation, full of boundary-breaking courage, full of what is saving, healthy, lasting, meaningful, real, and good. Conversation thrives when you know your content, your work, and your audience. There is a mystery lurking under the disarming surface of the simplest conversation. My friend says her favorite two words are awe and conversation. We could add that the two are not very far removed or apart from each other. It may have been that the community which gave birth to the Gospel of John included some Samaritans. This would explain the prominence of this long, intricate passage devoted to the conversation of Jesus with a Samaritan woman. The Samaritans were outsiders. Here, one of their own takes center stage. In our time, when those outside, immigrant, refugee, poor, different, other, are steadily subjected to heightened measures of exclusion, we benefit from reminders like this Lord's Day from John 4, that we are called as people of faith, called as Christian people to care, succor, attention, and protection of the least among us. The larger question, and it is very much an open question, is whether the humiliation spreading out right now through civil society and culture, wherein inherited precious forms of civil society are daily shredded with a gratuitous cruelty, coming now to us over the next decade, will chasten us, humble us, and will in that way strengthen us by the faithfulness of Jesus Christ. He it is today who announces his own presence and lordship in the course of a meandering conversation. I am he, the one who is speaking to you, a spring of water gushing up to eternal life. Throughout the year 2017 at Mars Chapel, we are engaged in ministry with attention to conversation. Our National Summer Preacher Series will engage in conversation about new directions in discipleship. This Lenten series is held in conversation with Henry Nouwen. Over the past decade, Lent by Lent, we'd identified a theological conversation partner for the Lenten sermons, broadly speaking, out of the Calvinist tradition. For the next decade, we turn to the Catholic tradition. Over the next decade, beginning this Lent, the Marsh pulpit, a traditionally Methodist one, will turn left, not right, toward Rome, not Geneva, and we will preach with and learn from the Roman Catholic tradition. We began March 5th with Henry Nouwen and Sacrament, continuing last week with Nouwen and Reaching Out, and today, Nouwen and the Life of the Beloved. The internationally renowned priest and author, respected professor, and beloved pastor Henry Nouwen wrote over 40 books on the spiritual life. He corresponded regularly in English, Dutch, German, French, and Spanish with hundreds of friends and reached out to thousands through his Eucharistic celebrations, lectures, and retreats. Since his death in 1996, ever-increasing numbers of readers, writers, teachers, and seekers have been guided by his literary legacy. Now his books have sold over 8 million copies and been published in 28 languages. Born in Holland, 1932, Nouwen felt called to the priesthood at a very young age. He was ordained in 1957 as a diocesan priest, studied psychology at the Catholic University of Nijmegen. In 1964, he moved to the United States to study at the Menninger Clinic. He went on to teach at the University of Notre Dame and the Divinity Schools of Yale and Harvard. For several months during the 1970s, Nouwen lived and worked with the Trappist monks in the Abbey of the Genesee in upstate New York. And in early 1980s, he lived with the poor in Peru. In 1985, he was called to join L'Arche in Trosley, France, the first of over 100 communities founded by Jean Vanier, where people with developmental disabilities live with assistance. A year later, Nouwen came to make his home at L'Arche Daybreak near Toronto, Canada. He died suddenly on September 21, 1996, in Holland, and is buried in Richmond Hill, Ontario. Nouwen believed that what is most personal is most universal, he wrote. By giving words to these intimate experiences, I can make my life available to others. Nouwen dedicated his life to the practice of genuine conversation, genuine faithfulness. He eschewed the false formal and prized the personal in piety. A story from the same period from Charles Rice at Drew, Nouwen would have loved. A few years ago, Rice spoke about the servant of the servants of God. He told about an Easter when he was in Greece. He sat in the Orthodox Church and watched the faithful in devotions. There was a great glass icon of Christ to which, following prayers, women and men would move and then kneel, and as they rose, they kissed the glass icon. Every so often, a woman dressed in black would emerge from the shadows with some cleanser or Windex and a cloth and psh, 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 would clean the image, making it clear again. Washing clean the image again and freeing it from so much encrusted piety. And he had a revelation about service and power and authority and leadership. And as he watched the woman in black cleaning the icon, he realized that this was what his ministry was meant to be, a daily washing away from the face of Christ, all that obscured, all that distorted, all that blocked others from seeing his truth and goodness and beauty, including so much piety. Years ago, by accident, Nouwen met a man named Fred, a journalist who wanted to write a novel. We had a saying in our family of origin when intrusive questions arose, "Are you a journalist or writing a book?" Well, Fred was the former and hoping to do the latter, but he feared a shift in vocation for all the usual suspect reasons. Henry, though, persisted in encouraging the man to leave his job and write his book, In fact, he went out of his way. Nouwen procured him a grant at Yale to do so. So the man entered a new season of vocational discernment, and though he never finished the novel, he did find a deeper level of living, a sense of meaning, and in the bargain, a great lasting friend in Henry Nouwen. We might pause to wonder a bit about our callings. Is this your final resting place in vocation? Where you are now, I mean? You have heard some sort of call and heeded, or you would not be where you are. But what about the next call? What about the second call? Is there a knocking at your spiritual door asking you to consider a second, another call? Fred was a good journalist, but he heard a second call to write, and in hearing and in heeding, though not in his case in succeeding, he found himself closer to his ownmost self. Life is a series of invitations and a process of discernment. We might pause right now in front of God and everybody to wonder quietly for a moment about our own callings. Last year at commencement, we had a speaker who told about a second call. Not all commencement addresses need or even deserve remembrance, but hers had a diamond embedded in it, a treasure buried in a field. The speaker graduated from BU as an actress and went herself to La La Land. She did what aspiring actors do. She waited on tables for a year and another year and a third. Then she got a job, a part-time job, on the business side of show business. And you know what? She liked it, and it liked her. And then she said, I looked at my acting career lived out in waiting tables, and I made a decision. I decided my calling was to do something else. I decided to, here is the gem, I decided to edit my dreams. She decided to edit her dreams. So Nina Tassler, waitress, became over decades the head of CBS Entertainment. Sometimes a second call comes along and invites you to edit your dreams. Henry Nouwen invited Fred to edit his dreams, and he did. Then Fred invited Henry to edit his dreams in this way. He asked Nouwen to write a simple book, a conversation about the spiritual life in a secular world, a book for ordinary people, not academics, ordinary people, not clergy, ordinary people, not even religious people. This took Nouwen out of his comfort zone, but out of that zone he went, and he wrote a book, The Life of the Beloved. Our gospel today, John 4, has a radiance of love within it, as does Nouwen's book. Here in brief is what Nouwen wrote, this esteemed Roman Catholic theologian, Yale academic, profoundly erudite priest. It is portable, what he wrote. You can take it with you and carry it home after the sermon and service. Just this, you are beloved. You are loved. God loves, and God loves you. And you need not do anything to prove it, earn it, achieve it, or deserve it. You beloved. That is, in a single word, the life of the Spirit. Beloved. But of course, Nouwen went on to develop this theme, the trails and traces of the Spirit in the single word. He put together a quadrilateral, what we can call the love quartet today. First, wrote Nouwen, to become beloved, to live as beloved, we need to acknowledge that we are taken, chosen, wanted, and be grateful for it. Second, to live as beloved, we want to acknowledge that we are blessed. You are precious in God's sight, blessed, beloved, as you are. Not as you might be later on, but right now, as you are right now. You claim your blessing through the practice of prayer and through attention to presence. So, my friend's two favorite words, awe, conversation. Well, there. Memorize a prayer or three, the Lord's Prayer, Wesley Table Graces, the Prayer of Assisi. Third, to live as beloved, we want to acknowledge our brokenness. So now in writing, Each human being suffers in a way no other human being suffers. Each human being suffers in a way no other human being suffers. It will not do to repress our sadness, our resentment, our fear, our anger. No, we are human, beloved human beings, and so are honest about our fractures. Now and Then wrote about AIDS, a crucial subject in that time, 1992. To heal, we have to step toward our pain. Here we can all learn from the 12-step programs as long as we realize that there are many ways to be addicted that can have nothing to do with substances. You might be surprised to know that Nouwen's most personal example was his grief at the death of Leonard Bernstein. Fourth, we are given as beloved ones. We are loved, but not just for our own sakes. As Houston Smith, similarly an academic, similarly a theologian, though a Methodist, similarly a cleric, put it, thinking perhaps of Houston Smith's parents who were missionaries in China, we are in good hands, and so it behooves us to bear one another's burdens. When we enjoy others and with joy give ourselves to others and engage in enjoyment among others, then in reality we are given because we are giving. You only truly have what you give away, starting and ending with your time. Here Nouwen concludes, and rightly, by drawing us toward our own death and the way we give ourselves, not just living, but dying. You remember my oops advice as we prepare for the end of life. OOPS, obituary, order of worship, photograph, special papers. But Nouwen means something more than that, writing, the spirit of love, once freed from our mortal bodies, will blow where it wills. Chosen, blessed, broken, given. Chosen, blessed, broken, given. Eternal life is the full revelation of what we have been and have lived all along. By grace, we too, you and I, have been chosen and set in time and space to live in faith. By grace, we too, you and I, have been blessed, sometimes with happiness and sometimes with loss, sometimes with fulfillment and sometimes with unrequited love. By grace, we too, you and I, in honesty, in confession, must add, we have been broken. Our brokenness best sung, perhaps, by Leonard Cohen. Ring the bells that still can ring. Forget your perfect offering. There is a crack in everything. That's how the light gets in. Forget your perfect offering. There is a crack in everything. That's how the light gets in. There is a crack in everything. That's how the light gets in. That's how the light gets in. By grace, we too, you and I, have been given to be gifts and to become givers, to choose tomorrow, tomorrow, one pure act of kindness, to imagine it, plan it, pray over it, do it, and watch it recede in the rearview mirror. In the Student Union Thursday, a young pianist of limited ability but of great heart played a tune, the haunting, soulful tune you may have heard, remembered from a current film. That phrase of music is the refrain from which the story takes wing and to which it returns moment by moment. As your life and soul life return again and again to the gospel, a spoken gift of faith, the faithfulness of the Son of God who loved us, gave himself for us, a spring of water gushing up to eternal life.